So, he's a bit of a fixer-upper. Written by the Force book, and read by Sunkitten Shash. An Only Friends fic, rated explicit. Archive warning for rape / non-con. Summary. Boston is going to fix everything. He just has to break someone first. Boston was going to fix everything. He had admittedly played around too much and displaced some of his favorite toys for a moment there, but Destiny had been kind enough to present him with a golden opportunity to turn back time, and he was not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. It hadn't been part of his plans for the night to go to the Halloween party, never mind stay that long after, but he had taken shelter upstairs to do a line in peace when Shum's little brother started getting on his nerves, and then later it made sense to sit it out when the cops arrived and someone dealt with them. And then, just as he had been about to leave the corner room, he saw Top come out of another one. He was closing the door behind himself in a suspiciously quiet way, fingers lingering on the door handle. That had been enough to prompt Boston to take a step back into the darkness he had been stepping out of. He waited, Top's distinctively firm steps only getting louder, as he was pretty much on the last few steps of the staircase. Only then did Boston come out to check what Top had hidden behind the carefully closed door. He opened it slowly and soundlessly, making sure to look behind himself, just in case Top returned. The sight that greeted him had Boston chuckle in immediate understanding. Oh, Top. What a sheep in wolf's clothing he turned out to be. He could see it in front of his mind's eye. Top, the hero who stoically carried his passed-out ex-lover upstairs, to carefully deposit him on a bed to sleep off his inebriation, taking off only the few pieces of clothing that would make sleeping uncomfortable, but making sure to leave on a modest layer and covering him with a thin sheet. There was even a glass of water on a nightstand, right next to the collar that was part of Mew's slut night out outfit. What a golden opportunity, indeed. And yet, Top had resisted, even though his balls were probably blue from the games Mew had been playing with him, since even before they had separated. That little ride in the car was honestly community service on Boston's part, and must have barely scratched the itch. The poor bastard. So yeah, Boston decided then and there, the idea running through him like he had just touched a live wire. He was going to fix everything and get back everything he strangely missed since Mew, and thus everyone who had been part of his friend group, had turned their backs on him. And he'd teach Mew a lesson while he was at it. His friend made a beautiful picture spread out across the bed, as Boston pulled on the bottom of the duvet to expose more of his form. Top let him keep on the slightly cropped top he'd been wearing, as well as his boxers, but the sweat-slick and clinging material didn't leave much to the imagination. He'd seen him disappear for a few minutes with Ray earlier that night, so Boston was pretty sure he was safe, but he took a step closer to him to assure himself just in case. The skin of Mew's inner thigh was flush with heat and a little clammy, but most importantly, soft and sensitive when he took it in between two fingers and twisted it, giving the movement an edge with the nail of his thumb. A soft furrow appeared on Mew's brow, and he let out a pained whine, but most importantly, his lashes didn't move, and neither did his pupils behind the closed lids. Boston had expected as much, but still felt a wave of satisfaction run through him. So the perfect little saint actually partook in more than just alcohol. Well, that was practically a go-ahead. The second lock on the door engaged. Boston inhaled in anticipation. A short trip to the adjoining bathroom later, he had everything he needed. Boston would have liked to turn on the light to see a little better, but the risk was too high. And anyway, this was nice as well. In the low light of the moon coming through the window, and the bit of lighting he had left on above the sink in the next room, he could see enough to whet his appetite. "Now what do we have here?" he whispered to himself. Far from his usual reliable choices of wide shirts and cardigans, the tight white tee hugged Mew's lithe body like a second skin, while his underwear rode up until pretty much every inch of his thighs remained uncovered. Even though Boston was aware that what he was about to do was all just a favor he was doing Top and a way to make amends to Mew, he was not unaffected by seeing his friend in such an unguarded, vulnerable state. So far removed from his usual Ice Prince persona, Mew was actually kinda cute, spread out on his back invitingly. There was no time to indulge in looking, though. He would have to be quick and firm if he wanted to leave a lasting impression. He didn't remove much else but the red jacket thrown over his shoulders, and climbed into the bed with his shoes on, just in case he had to make a quick retreat. Mew's legs were already spread out, so removing his underwear was a bit of a hassle, but manageable. The shirt, however, proved to be more difficult, so he made do with pushing it up until it bunched up around the armpits, leaving his chest uncovered. Throughout it all, Mew didn't even flinch, proving Boston's theory that whatever he had taken would leave him knocked out for at least a few hours. Not that he was going to need that much time, with the way the front of his pants was already tenting at the feeling of the supple skin underneath his palms. Fuck. He let one hand slide down the length of Mew's chest, over his soft belly, to the back of a knee to lift that up. He was soft between his legs despite the touches, which he didn't mind. It was kind of cute, the way his tiny dick twitched at the scratches and pinches he left to be discovered in the morning. Boston wasn't going to be mean, though. Mew was his good friend, after all. He'd help him out later. "You better be grateful," he mouthed, as he leaned down to suck bruises along a slick chest and high up on his neck, where it couldn't be hidden even with a high-collared shirt. "I'm being so nice." Not only was he making amends, even though most of what had happened wasn't even his fault, with a bit of luck, this was going to make sure Mew and Top both got their fairy tale ending. And he was going to be their fairy godmother, because the two of them didn't manage to get their shit together on their own. And he really was being nice, not drawing blood where he bit around a stiff nipple, and then even making sure to drench Mew's hole in spit as he spread his thighs around himself. Still, it couldn't be helped. Mew needed to feel it in the morning, so he went in with two fingers at once, until they were all in despite the friction and the pained breaths coming from the person receiving them. Shit, he was tight. Probably just as much as he had been when Top first broke him in. A tiny, amused huff escaped him. Poor Ray, all the work and money he had put into making him lower his guard, and Mew didn't even deem it necessary to put out. Nothing really changed since that night Boston made that video of them. He spread the two fingers before moving them out with a twist, and immediately returning with three of them. A part of him felt bad for Mew. If it had come to this a few weeks earlier, he could have stopped at that and have him come to the wrong conclusions the next day. But now that he actually knew what being split open by a real dick felt like, he had to go that one step further. Making quick work of popping open the button on his pants and opening his fly, Boston grabbed the lotion he'd taken from the bathroom and one of the many condoms his friends had stashed all over the hostel. He wasn't out to scare Mew, after all. Not in that way, at least. It took no time to put the rubber on and slick himself up a tiny bit. Just enough to avoid real tearing, but not so much that it wouldn't leave a lasting impression. Mew was so tight that entering him felt more unpleasant than anything else, but when he finally managed to bottom out, the heat and pressure quickly did its job in getting Boston fully hard again. By now, the soft whimpers he had been letting out in his sleep grew into pained whines. A small movement accompanied the noises, Mew trying to shift his head back and forth in an unconscious shake.
"Shh, it's okay," Boston spoke into an ear as he spread both of his legs further to be able to thrust. "This is all for your own good, so calm down."
Even as he said it, he knew that it was not the entire truth. Sure, he was doing this all to make things better, but at the same time, he couldn't deny the pleasure that was running through his blood at every thrust, of every slap of his balls on naked skin. The body under him was so far removed from the nasty version of Mew he had gotten to know in the past weeks. The one who had the audacity to threaten him with the tape in front of his own father, or push him around in public. No, this Mew was much closer to how Boston liked him, sweet and quiet. Receptive. Not just his words and decisions anymore, but taking parts of his body inside himself. His mechanical thrusting turned more forceful as he lost himself to the fun of it. If he dropped his eyelids and unfocused his sight a little, it wasn't even that hard to pretend that Mew had just closed his eyes in pleasure and was letting his little sighs and whimpers out knowingly.
"Did you like that, you slut?" Boston asked,
laughing as he saw a slight swelling in Mew's dick, as he must have accidentally hit the right spot a few times too often.
"Only started a few weeks ago, and you're on your second dick already. Are you trying to make up for lost time?"
He forgot to be careful for a few minutes, until a particularly hard thrust actually had Mew mumble out something close to a word, immediately prompting Boston to slow down and grind instead. By then, Mew was pretty hard, and he kindly decided to help him out, wrapping a firm hand around his length and twisting it in time with his movements until he spilled all over himself. He could have saved himself the trouble, but the thought of Mew shamefully discovering that whatever happened actually got him off was too good to pass up. A few more minutes, and Boston could feel himself approaching orgasm as well. He pumped until he was finished, then carefully pulled out, holding the ring on the condom so it didn't accidentally slip. Making Mew worry about getting tested was not part of the plan, so he just dropped the used rubber on his chest, where he would hopefully still find it upon waking up. That was it, then. Not much else for him to do. Though, he did take his phone out of his jacket to snap a few mementos. For himself, and also just in case Mew thought of doing something rash. Whistling, he walked over to the bathroom to clean up, taking his time washing his hands and writing his clothes. And those few steps had been the luckiest out of everything he did that night, because just as he was about to throw away the tissue he had used to wipe his hands, Boston noticed something in the trash can that had him laugh in delight. School was pretty boring the first few days of the week without the others there, and Boston was itching to find out if something came out of the events at Halloween. He heard nothing through the grapevine, though that didn't come as a surprise. Their little group was usually pretty removed from the popular crowds and their issues. Unsurprisingly, it was Chum who ambushed him on Tuesday,
just as he was about to jump into his car in the school parking lot, after what would normally have been their last class of the day. Not even saying hello, she threw herself into his arms. "Boston, it's terrible!" she sobbed, nails digging into his back through the thin layer of his white shirt.
"Jim, what happened? Are you hurt?"
he quickly asked, glad to finally find out what happened. Other people coming out of the class started giving them weird looks, so he gently led her inside his car and patted her on the back until she calmed down enough to start speaking.
"It's Mew," she let out, between, frankly, quite dramatic gasps for air, tears spilling from her eyes as she looked up at him.
"Something happened at the Halloween party after you left."
"At the party? What do you mean?"
She threw herself at him again, and Boston couldn't help but roll his eyes at her over her shoulder as she left snot all over his white shirt. The irony of them doing this on the very car seats where the whole damn drama began was killing him. At some point, he started wondering if fucking Top even took longer than Chum needed to get the story out. Thankfully, she pulled herself together after a few more minutes and started speaking.
"Mew, he wasn't doing great. We all didn't notice. And then when the cops showed up and everything was a mess, everyone left, no one knew where he was, and then I guess a few guys found him and... Oh God, Boston!"
She hid her face in her hands, now just crying like a baby.
"Oh no."
He quickly made sure to cover most of his face with a hand. Boston wasn't the best of actors, but she wasn't paying much attention to him anyway. It took a lot of patience not to yell at her to calm down, that she wasn't even the one who supposedly got gang-raped while high off her ass at an illegal party she threw herself.
"But is he sure? I mean, maybe he went with them because he wanted to?"
"What? No! Mew definitely wouldn't have done that!" she yelled out,
as always, protective of her best friend who could do no wrong in her eyes.
"Okay, I believe you. What did the police say?"
he asked, even though Boston already knew what the answer would be. The likelihood of him calling the police was close to zero, even less that they would care enough to take samples after seeing him in his party getup. One look at the room full of empty bottles, the condoms on the bed, and Mew's general state, and the only thing they'd do was take him in for a drug check, and maybe even file prostitution charges. Yeah, the other used condoms and empty bottles he found in the trash of the bathroom were too much of a stroke of luck to pass them up. Predictably, Jim immediately looked shifty and avoided his gaze.
"He couldn't go because if they tested him for drugs, Mew would get in trouble."
It all came out in small, quiet words, like someone might be listening in.
"They gave him something?" Boston asked in faked surprise.
"No, he and Dre..." she trailed off all sheepishly.
"Oh."
It was difficult not to burst into laughter at the indignant look in her eyes. Jim and Mew had looked away from Ray's recreational activities for a long time, not wanting to take responsibility for his care upon themselves, besides the occasional drive home or night spent keeping him from choking in his sleep. Boston couldn't fault them for that, since he had given up on that mere months into their friendship. But the way she was now acting, like they just happened to fall nose first into using, just because her little bestie was suddenly involved, was likely a far cry from the reaction he would have received if something like that had happened to him. He tried not to be bitter about it, though. In the end, all he had done after the party had been to help Mew, so he could understand her protective tendencies. In fact, Speaking to those might be the quickest way for him to get back into her graces as well.
"Let me think," he said, and turned to clutch the steering wheel as he pretended to stare out of the windows, blinking rapidly to try to get moisture to his eyes.
"Maybe I could ask my dad if he could pull some strings with the police. I'm not sure he'll be able to do much, but..."
Before he'd even managed to finish his thought, Chum had pressed herself closer to put her arms around his shoulder.
"No, it's okay," she whispered,
now apparently intent on making him, of all people, feel better. He looked down at her in honest shock.
"Thank you, Boston," she said,
wiping the tears from her eyes as she made eye contact with him.
"I knew you were a good friend, after all. But let's not mention that to Mew."
"Are you sure?"
She nodded, visibly trying to pull herself together for his sake.
"He said he just wants to move on from what happened."
"But then..."
He trailed off, leaving the obvious thing unsaid. Then why was she speaking with him, if she didn't want to ask for his help in finding out what had happened? Boston had an entire plan for that. An old buddy of his at the police station who still owed him, and would probably be easily talked into taking a statement and then bury it in a stack of files. That was the most important part of his plan, his surefire way of getting back into his friend's graces.
"Would you mind coming with me to Mew's place? He can't be alone right now," she said meekly.
His eyebrows rose out of their own volition.
"It couldn't be that easy."
"Sure. What about Ray? Is he already there, or should we pick him up on the way?"
"Ray checked into rehab yesterday. Sand took him there as soon as he woke up and heard what happened."
It was lucky that the car was parked and Boston wasn't driving, or else he might have crashed it into the next best obstacle.
The day just couldn't get better.
He
truthfully struggled with what to say.
"Yeah. Apparently, Ray had left the party to go look for him while Mew was passed out."
Her voice was hard and accusatory. One look into Chum's eyes told him everything she was thinking. How convenient of him to finally go to rehab the second he had screwed up and Mew needed support more than him. He didn't ask her where she herself had been while everything supposedly went on.
"Of course, I'll do anything Mew needs me to," he said decidedly,
but then made a pause as if thinking about something for the first time.
"But what about Top and, you know..."
"That doesn't matter now, okay?" she interrupted. "None of that shit is important anymore. Top's there at the apartment to keep him company. He's been there since Sunday, and he's been great."
None of her past anger at Top was in her voice while she sang the guy's praises, which was a little bit weird considering everything.
"Are you sure it'll be okay, then, if I come?"
Obviously that had been the end goal of it all, getting the band back together, so to speak. But even Boston hadn't expected it to be as simple as that.
"Mew asked for you," Chum answered.
Before she could start crying again, he turned the key in the ignition and started pulling out of the parking space. It was apparently really as simple as that. His heart was beating in excitement the last few steps they made toward Mew's tiny flat. He was about to find out if his work had paid out already. Boston was feeling jittery, almost a first date kind of feeling, when Chum carefully knocked and called out that it was them through the closed door, as if to prepare whoever was inside. When it opened, he was met with Top's face on the other side of the threshold. He threw Boston a hard look, but then sighed as he stepped back to let them inside.
"I'm trying to make him eat, but he's too out of it," he whispered, mostly to Chum, and glanced at Boston, warning him to say something as they walked inside the living room space.
The sight that greeted them almost made Boston lose composure and sigh in happiness. Mew was sitting on the couch, curled up on himself in one of his old sweaters, despite the relative warmth of the room. His hair wasn't styled up anymore. There was no jewelry on him, and he was watching the TV showing some animated show forlornly, as if confused at what was happening on screen. All that was missing were his old glasses, maybe a book in front of his nose, and he looked like his old self again. Boston almost smiled, but managed to catch himself in time. He made a step towards the couch, but was suddenly pulled back by a hand gripping his arm. "Be careful what you say to him," Top hissed. "I don't know why he asked you to be here, but I'm watching you." He put his hand on Top's forearm and ripped his hand away from himself, stepping close to whisper to him so quietly neither Mew nor Choom could accidentally overhear. "The same could be said about you," he said. "Where were you when he was hurt? Trying to pull at another party, or rubbing your nose onto your couch table?" It was clear he had hit the jackpot with at least one of the assumptions, from the way Top stepped backwards with a grimace on his face. Boston couldn't have been completely sure that that was what had happened, but with a simple mind like Top's, the options were limited. The longer Boston spent in his presence, the harder it got to remind himself why he had ever been attracted to Top. Sure, the dick had been nice, but he was starting to believe a dildo would have presented a comparable level of base intelligence. Fuck, even Mew in his short-lived revenge era had managed to be more interesting. He tried to step around Top, but was halted again, forcing Boston to look up at the taller man. "Listen, it was pretty clear I wasn't welcome at that party, so I left when the police came. And if you didn't fuck everything up for me, I would have been with him and none of this would have happened." Boston almost took a step back to laugh at how quickly his thoughts were proven wrong. So Top was capable of being interesting, but only when it came to gaining access to Mew again. His suspicions about Choom's lack of anger at Top were correct. The motherfucker hadn't told them that he had been the one to leave Mew behind in the bedroom upstairs, seemingly giving someone else the chance to hurt him. And he was still acting like he had no active role to play in their mutual oopsie. "Be careful what you say to me if you know what's good for you," he said in passing, while he walked up to his friend sitting on the couch, though Top had no idea how much power he actually held in his hands now. Boston wasn't going to use that information against Top immediately, but he mentally patted himself on the back in congratulations. As soon as Mew had forgiven Top completely, and they were back on, he would have something to hold over his head forever if he ever needed to. Not that it would likely come to that. When this little obstacle was overcome, and Mew retreated back to behaving how Boston liked him to, and the way he was when Top fell in love with him, he was sure there would be nothing left between their collective happy ending. Everyone was visibly holding their breath the seconds it took him to walk up to Mew's small form in the center of the room. Choom was standing back as if to oversee everything, and Top was hovering next to them with a clenched fist by the side of his thigh. He looked like a guard dog, ready to attack at the wrong move, but not quite daring to get closer to Mew, either. Boston dropped to the cushions with a loud noise, causing Mew to jump in place and look at him, the first movement he had made in the minutes he spent in the room. His eyes were bloodshot and had deep circles underneath them, like he had spent the past days crying instead of sleeping. That was very likely, in fact, and a much better way for him to keep himself occupied than trying to blackmail Boston and ruin his life. "Boston?" His voice was shaky, even from that small effort. looking at Mew, blinking away the moisture in his eyes as he looked at Boston, he couldn't keep the burning feeling in his stomach from dissipating. It was clear he had learned his lesson from the quiet way he said his name, like he was asking Boston to save him, to turn back time before this terrible thing happened to him. And Boston would. He said nothing in reply at first, only pushed his hands through Mew's greasy hair as he looked him over, as if to check him for injuries, but mostly to take in the sweet sight of him all open and trusting in front of him. So close to that shy first year he had taken under his wing years ago. Boston had made the mistake of giving him too much leeway to pick up nasty habits previously, but now, with the reins back in his hands, he would gather the broken pieces of him and fix him up properly. He never intended to destroy Mew completely, after all. Just teach him to toe the line. How he wished he could pull out his camera and take a picture of his masterpiece then and there, especially when he caught sight of the angry love bite he had left on the side of Mew's neck. He finished his inspection and turned to the food on the couch table in front of them, which Top had apparently been trying to get him to eat without much success. Boston picked up a spoon and the closest bowl of soup. "Say ah," was the first thing he directed at Mew. No questions, no kid gloves, no begging for forgiveness for his past actions. His first words towards his friend since they went their separate ways were a command. Top was hopefully taking notes. Mew blinked, as if he couldn't understand at first. But then, before Top could say anything, and before Choom could do more than glare at him from behind Mew's back, he obeyed and opened his mouth wordlessly. Boston pushed the full spoon inside, and watched him carefully swallow the by-now cold soup. He could almost feel the collective sigh of relief coming from Top and Choom, who was blinking away tears again, this time in gratitude and pride. "Good boy, good boy," Boston praised, as he put the clean spoon back into the food to pick up more. "You're going to finish this and the rice, and then Top's going to help you shower." He could see the other man bristle from the corner of his eyes. But when Mew automatically nodded and ate another spoonful without complaint, he noticeably relaxed, watching what was happening, almost in wonder. Top slowly came closer to the couch and sat down right beside Mew, without looking for permission first. So he had, in fact, been taking notes. Perhaps Boston had underestimated him and his intellect. Top was quick enough on the uptake, at least when he had the right motivation. By the time Boston had finished feeding Mew the entire bowl of soup and had the fried rice lined up next, Top had a hand running up and down Mew's waist possessively as he looked at the side of his face with a gentle gaze.
"You're a bit of a mess right now," Boston said,
as he took in his friend's disheveled state. He gave him the warm smile that had been at the edge of bursting out of him at the first sight of his little wallflower being back where he belonged. "But we're going to fix that, don't worry," he went on, holding up a heaped spoon to his mouth. Mew, safely caged between the two people who would take care of him and keep him in line from now on, smiled back at him, and opened up obediently. The end.